Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees your efforts no matter how small they may seem, and your sincerity in seeking His pleasure matters more than the quantity of your deeds. Take a moment to breathe, to rest, and to replenish your heart, and make the firm intention that you are going to strive again for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, He is al-shukr, meaning He's the most appreciative. Even of our smallest deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate more than anybody or anything. He's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most beneficial, the most merciful, the most compassionate. So we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees our efforts and He will facilitate us so long as we try our best to stay steadfast and keep going with our actions and not giving up. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my lovely dearest sisters. I pray you are all in the best of health and iman, inshallah, and that you all are having the most fruitful and blessed Ramadan, inshallah. So I can't believe I'm actually recording another podcast episode, but alhamdulillah, I have the time and I really want to start, you know, making smaller episodes. But let's just go straight in. So today's episode is about Ramadan burnout, because it's very common, and actually I'm seeing this all over social media. I'm seeing this when I'm speaking to people, that people are slowly getting into that burnout stage where they are trying to fulfill the responsibilities as a Muslim woman, but obviously they're trying to make sure that they are doing their worldly duties as well to get by and to live. And it's very common to have this strain on you where you are feeling constantly tired and sometimes even demotivated. And actually we are in the 13th day of Ramadan, so by now it's our emotions, our energy at the beginning of Ramadan is very heightened, to the point where we want to do our best and we put 110% of our energy. And then obviously slowly, whilst we are trying to do that, whilst fulfilling our duties in the dunya, when I say fulfilling our duties in the dunya, I'm meaning, you know, the bare minimum that we do to keep us going. Nothing extra, because our focus shouldn't be on anything extra in the dunya, but just enough to get us by. And actually what happens is we, as women as well, we become burnt out, and it's actually very, very normal. In today's episode, you know, I want to address Ramadan burnout and how, as Muslim women, as sisters, we can fix this for ourselves. It's really important that we address why, first of all. So why is it that as Muslim women we experience spiritual burnout during Ramadan? And actually it's not just us women, it applies to all Muslims as well, but obviously my podcast is catered to Muslim women, so I'm more targeting to my sisters. So there are five very common reasons. So number one is overcommitment. Now what this means is you're trying to maintain this high level of ibadah, such as, you know, you have these strong ambitions. For example, you want to pray all 20 rak'ats of Taraweeh, and you want to pray tahajjud, you want to perform all of your nafil salahs and complete all of your sunnah salahs, and you go above and beyond with your intentions and your goals for Ramadan, and spending long nights of prayer and intense Quran recitation can often lead to burnout if it's not balanced with rest and self-care. And that's very vital as well, to make sure that we are resting, we are allowing our bodies to kind of nourish and find its energy again, because our body is going through this process where, you know, it's trying to adjust to the fact that we are not eating or drinking throughout the whole day. And it's important that we have enough energy to fulfill our goals, because if we don't, you know, supply our body with the rest that it needs, you're not going to have enough energy to actually do your acts of worship to fulfill your goals. Number two is physical strain. So that is the long hours of fasting, and especially in countries that have extended like daylight hours, this can lead to fatigue and also having decreased energy levels. And of course, this in turn will make it challenging to sustain the spiritual practices of Ramadan and to fulfill the ibadah that we have intended to do. Number three is social pressures. This is cultural expectations or social comparisons, and this may lead individuals to overexert themselves in order to meet perceived standards of piety, which can lead to exhaustion and burnout. And this is very common, especially with social media being on the rise as always. You know, we have that cultural expectation that we must do the most that we can during Ramadan. And of course, we must do. But what happens is that some individuals, some of us as Muslims, we put too much pressure on ourselves. And what actually happens is we overburden ourselves, because sometimes when we try to do the extreme acts of worship in terms of the quantity, we want to do as much as possible, even though that is incredible. That is amazing. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward sisters and reward all of us Muslims for, you know, having that intention to do as much as we can. But especially if, you know, before Ramadan, doing certain acts of ibadah, for example, you know, doing your sunnah prayers, if it's not part of your daily routine and all of a sudden you are doing all of them during Ramadan, then what could happen is that obviously you have this high expectation and you are trying so hard to fulfill it. And also, unfortunately, on social media, you see, you know, people kind of talking about how, like, if you don't do this, then, you know, I've seen very extreme cases where it's like, if you don't do this type of ibadah, then you're not considered as Muslim. Astaghfirullah. It's actually very intense what you see and what you come across social media. So again, social pressures can often lead to people really burning themselves out without even realizing, subhanAllah. Number four is neglecting self-care, and this is focusing solely on religious activities whilst neglecting basic self-care practices such as proper nutrition during suhoor, also being hydrated as well, and having that adequate rest, which can also lead to, you know, not having that burnout. But just by, you know, not having that proper nutrition and that hydration, automatically you're going to lead to yourself having this physical burnout as well. And it's actually very worrying, because what happens is, and even our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that there is so much barakah in having suhoor. A lot of people, they tend to miss suhoor, but actually just so that they can get enough sleep, which yes, I understand that, but it's really important that we understand why we have to have suhoor and the religious aspect of it, the Islamic, you know, beauty behind suhoor. We must understand it to allow us to, you know, practice our ibadah more. And actually we must make this intention that, you know, Ya Rabbi, we have this beautiful food that you have blessed us with, and we're going to use it to nourish ourselves so that we can perform to the best of our ability when it comes to our ibadah. That's why we nourish ourselves, so that we can, number one, get ourselves through the day, but also we have that energy that we usually have to fulfill all of our obligatory acts of worship foremost, but also try to have that energy to do as much as we can when it comes to our sunnah worship or our nafl ibadah and obligations regarding that. And of course, if we are not being hydrated, then what happens is that we literally feel so tired. And I'm guilty of this sometimes. I remember previous Ramadans where I have literally only had like less than a liter of water. And alhamdulillah, you know, we are very blessed to have water, so we must make the most of it as well and supply our energy, our bodies with that energy to keep us going. Number five is having unrealistic expectations. So setting overly ambitious goals or expecting immediate transformation during Ramadan, this can actually lead to disappointment and burnout when expectations are not met. Again, we try to see, we're very hard on ourselves. As Muslims, we are very hard on ourselves. We feel like that nothing is ever enough. But actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his beautiful 99 names is Al-Shakr, meaning the most appreciative. And actually, we need to realize that Allah appreciates everything that we do. But if you are setting very unrealistic expectations, especially if it wasn't a part of your routine before, then this can highly lead to a burnout, because your body isn't equipped to it. It's out of your routine. It's not something that you have mentally prepared yourself for, because you weren't practicing before Ramadan. And actually, you know, in Islam as well, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they would literally prepare for Ramadan at least 6 months beforehand. And what this is telling us is that it's so vital to be mentally prepared for the goals that you are going to set. And actually, we should be practicing these goals so that when it comes to Ramadan, we should practice these goals beforehand, because when it comes to Ramadan, then it's going to be, you know, very easy, inshallah, because by then it'll be part of our natural routine and we can go ahead with it. But if it comes to a point where we haven't been having that in our previous routine, and when it comes to Ramadan all of a sudden we go above and beyond, then this can lead to burnout. And obviously, one of the biggest you know, kind of negativities from burnout is that it's a gateway for people to lose motivation, to feel like Islam is a burden, astaghfirullah. But that's essentially what it is. When you feel tired, you don't see the beauty behind why you are tired. You know, when you're tired for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the most, you're going to get rewarded for it. It's a beautiful act of ibadah as well that you're not even realizing, that is actually, you know, taking in our emotions. With these five reasons, I've come up with at least kind of three tips as to how we can overcome these, you know, burnout reasons. So number one, like I said, overcommitment. So to resolve overcommitment, we need to prioritize essential acts of worship and allocate time for rest and relaxation. This is so important because we need to remember, like, we have to make sure that if our farad acts of worship are not being adhered to and we are not fulfilling them, then that we must fulfill them first before we even think of going to do sunnah or nafl. Our first priority is making sure that we perform the best of our ability to not only to complete our fourth act of ibadah, but to conduct it in a way that it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no point in doing, you know, sunnah and nafl. I don't want to say there's no point, but because obviously Allahu alam, Allah knows our intentions. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that making sure that we have khushu' in our fourth salah, making sure we have khushu' in what is expected of us, is far better than doing lots and lots where we are half-hearted. You know, when you are doing ibadah that is half-hearted, actually it takes the value away and we see our ibadah as quantity, not quality. So it's really important that whatever we are trying to do, we do it with quality, and that's why we need to prioritize the essential acts of ibadah and also making sure that we have this time for rest and relaxation as well. You know, you sit down, you do your adhkar, you do your dua, you do your dhikr. That is a nice, beautiful form of relaxation, but also you are, you know, resting as well. Number two is to set realistic goals for spiritual practices and be mindful of your own personal limits. You know, subhanAllah, we are not perfect, okay? We are human, we are insan, we are, you know, we have our nafs that we have to control, and actually there is so much that us as humans we can take, and we need to be self-aware that we have our limits, and if we go above those limits, then we need to be aware that this will cause us to crash. And again, this will in turn be a gateway for us thinking negatively about Islam when this shouldn't be a case, when actually it's us, we need to be, we're the problem, it's not Islam. But this is what happens, is when we are not accountable for how we are feeling, for, you know, the limits that we have. If we are not self-aware, then often we tend to blame the religion rather than ourselves, astaghfirullah. And this is something that we need to protect ourselves from, that we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance and protection. So making sure that you know your limits and that you don't overstep them, because as soon as you overstep those limits, you're going to put yourself in a very difficult situation. Number three is to seek balance by diversifying activities such as engaging in community service or spending time with family alongside individual ibadah as well. This is so important because often we think that it has to be the physical acts of worship that we must increase during Ramadan. Remember, Ramadan is a time where we not only increase in our physical ibadah, but are also the ibadah of our heart, our tongue, the way we speak to people, our dealings with people. You know, it's what we do for others. It's a month where we give to others, because that's how we attain goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second point being physical strain. How can we overcome physical strain during Ramadan that can stop us from leading to burnout? So number one is to stay hydrated during the non-fasting hours, and also making sure that our suhoor is nutritious and it's not just things like sweets or any junk food, because even though it might give us a lot of energy due to the sugar, but it won't fill us up and then we'll just be hungry the next day. So we just need to make sure that we are constantly staying hydrated, because our body needs it. It's, you know, 70% of our body, subhanAllah, is made of water. So we need to make sure sure that we are fulfilling our body's rights as well, because you have to remember it's an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to look after our bodies and our internal health so that we can be in the best condition that we can be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are conducting our ibadah. Tip two, and that is to pace oneself and avoid overexertion, especially during the hottest parts of the day. Now, this is usually applied, this kind of tip, I would say, is more useful for sisters who live in hotter countries as well. Because what happens is that if you're doing too much like physical activities, especially in a hot day, you will cause your body to strain. So just making sure that you take your time doing certain things and you give yourself a reality check throughout the day. When you are doing too much of physical activities, you need to stop and pause and just give yourself time to breathe. Give yourself time to reflect on your state, okay? Because your state is very important when it comes to doing your ibadah and trying to get the best quality that you can when performing your ibadah. And the last tip is incorporate light physical activities such as gentle exercise or short walks. And this is there to maintain your energy levels and also boost your circulation. SubhanAllah, just spending time in nature can do so much for physical strain as well, because it's very gentle on your body and you're still allowing blood to kind of circulate through your system and allow yourself to get as much oxygen as possible to help you. Number four was neglecting self-care, and obviously this can be a big gateway to having Ramadan burnout. Now, to make sure that we, you know, improve from and avoid neglecting our self-care, we should prioritize adequate sleep and rest so that it can rejuvenate our body and our mind. SubhanAllah, sleep is so vital after Taraweeh. Sisters, just kind of get your sleep, okay? Get your sleep, and then you can wake up maybe a couple of hours, few hours before Fajr to do your ibadah, you know, to make the most of the last third of the night as well. But don't forget, sleep is vital for the human body to keep going and to have that energy. We need that sleep for ourselves to be rejuvenated and to be in the best state as possible for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Test tip two, and that is to maintain a balanced, healthy diet with wholesome foods that provide sustained energy throughout the day. So making sure that we are eating foods that are very nutritious, like our fruits, and it's subhanAllah, even dates as well, dates and a glass of water. That is sunnah to break your fast with a date. Dates have all of this beautiful natural nutrition that, you know, allows us to have that energy throughout the day as well. So this is self-caring, okay? Self-care isn't just about the outside, it's about how we maintain our inside as well, because that's also very important for us, subhanAllah. And number three is to practice mindfulness and self-awareness. So making sure that we are listening to our body's needs and addressing them with compassion. We must be kind to our bodies. We must be kind to what we are putting inside our bodies and just making sure that our body is being looked after. Again, this all links to, you know, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when doing our ibadah and making sure that we are in the best state to perform the ibadah to the best of our ability. So all of this links to essentially having this energy to be the best position, best physical state of your mind and heart to perform your ibadah. Because if you are in the best physical condition, what's going to happen is your heart is going to feel alive, subhanAllah. Your heart is going to have more motivation because it has the energy to function. And number five, unrealistic expectations. How we can, you know, remove ourselves from unrealistic expectations. So number one, and that is to set achievable goals based on personal capabilities and circumstances. So making sure that you know what position you are in and being self-aware of your limits. You know, what is your limit? You know, is it, you know, when you're too tired after a certain point, that's when you just lose, you know, all of the function. So just making sure that you know what your body is able to handle and set achievable goals. And this is really important because these goals shouldn't just be, you know, achieved during Ramadan and that's it. To actually know whether you've achieved that goal is you want to make sure that you set a goal that you are also consistent with after Ramadan. That's how you know you really secured that goal. Second tip is to embrace the journey of spiritual growth, because this is a gradual process rather than expecting immediate results. We can't have that. We cannot be hasty, okay? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can never be hasty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it when we are hasty. So we need to remember that we can't rush the timing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't, because Allahu alam, Allah knows what we do not know. And Allah's timing, let alone Allah's plan, is what is best for us. And number three is to focus on the quality of our worship rather than the quantity, because that way when you find quality and when you find that connection, then subhanallah, you will be finding that joy, and more so your heart will be so fulfilled in sincere acts of devotion as well. As always, there are many beautiful hadiths to support the solutions for resolving the spiritual burnout that we have during Ramadan. So like I was saying, overcommitment, when we were talking about how overcommitment can lead to burnout during Ramadan, there is a beautiful hadith, Sunan Ibn Majah, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "Take up good deeds only as much as you are able, for the best deeds are those done regularly, even if they are a few." Now, this hadith is beautiful because it emphasizes the importance of consistency in ibadah, in our worship, and it encourages believers to avoid overburdening themselves with excessive commitments. Number two, we stated physical strain. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "Your body has a right over you." Again, this hadith highlights the importance of taking care of one's physical health and well-being. And this again includes having that rest and having that nutrition as well. Number three, we talked about social pressures. And the hadith with this as well that relates to this is that it's in Sahih al-Bukhari, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the likeness of a righteous friend and an evil friend is like that of a perfume seller and a blacksmith. As for the perfume seller, he may either bestow something on you, or you may purchase something from him, or you may benefit from his sweet smell. And as for the blacksmith, he may either burn your clothes, or you may be exposed to his awful smell. And again, this hadith is so beautiful because it underscores the influence of companionship on one's spiritual well-being, and it encourages believers to choose supportive friends who uplift and encourage them in their faith. Number four is neglecting self-care, and we talked about this, and there is a beautiful hadith that kind of, you know, supports the solution that we suggested. Again, this hadith found in Sahih al-Bukhari, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that there are two blessings which many people lose. They are health and free time for doing good. Again, this hadith highlights the importance of health as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it encourages us as believers to take care of our physical well-being in order to engage in acts of worship and good deed. Number five is unrealistic expectations. Now, the solutions that, you know, I had kind of suggested with the hadiths as well, again found in Sahih al-Bukhari, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, "The deeds that are most loved by Allah are those that are done regularly, even if they are small." So again, it really links with overcommitment also, when I was mentioning about that. And again, this hadith, it reinforces the concept of consistency in our ibadah, and it emphasizes the acceptance of making sure that there is ikhlas in our efforts, making sure that there is sincerity in our efforts, even if they are modest in scale. But there, you know, we need to make sure that our efforts are sincere above the quantity. Also, I just realized I kind of skipped over social pressures and how we can find the solutions to social pressures being one of the gateways to Ramadan burnout. Now, to relieve ourselves from social pressures, we must, number one, focus on our personal intentions and sincerity in worship rather than comparing oneself to others. Now, social media is a beautiful place for Islam as well, and for our iman, so long as it's used wisely. And I really put that in bold writing, that it is used wisely and sensibly. But what happens is that we can often feel inspired by, you know, watching all of these beautiful ibadah videos on social media, but often we end up comparing ourselves with others. But actually, we need to remember that at the end of the day, we are accountable for our own actions. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be, you know, calling us to be responsible for our own actions. And we need to remember that as well, and that everybody is on their own journey. Number two is to surround yourself with supportive friends and family who understand and respect your individual boundaries. And number three is to seek guidance from knowledgeable people and this righteous company, and also making sure that you are seeking the help from religious scholars to clarify any misconceptions and alleviate external pressures. I'm telling you this now, social media is a great place for Islamic reminders, but you know, when it comes to the fiqh of Islam and, you know, Islamic law, we must take this seriously, and we must advise and seek, you know, advice from authentic scholars. Okay, so this is all of the tips actually that I wanted to share, and kind of just how to get yourself out of going through that Ramadan burnout. Now, to all of my sisters who maybe experience Ramadan burnout, just know that in the midst of your exhaustion and your weariness, know that you aren't alone. Now, the journey of Ramadan is filled with peaks and valleys, and it has moments of spiritual highs and lows, and this is inevitable. And it's okay to feel overwhelmed and to feel like you're struggling to keep up with the demands of fasting and ibadah. But just know that, remember, having that positive perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is key. And remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He sees your efforts no matter how small they may seem. And your sincerity, the ikhlas in seeking His pleasure, matters more than the quantity of your deeds. Now take a moment to breathe, to rest, to replenish your spirit. Know that it's not about being perfect, my dear sister, but it's about striving with sincerity. Every step that you take, every moment you dedicate to seeking Allah's mercy and forgiveness, that is a step closer to Him. Finding peace and solace in the community around you, in the shared struggles and triumphs of fellow believers. Lean on one another for support, my dear sisters, for encouragement and for understanding. And most importantly, be gentle with yourself. You know, Ramadan is a beautiful time. It's a time of mercy and compassion, both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards ourselves. You know, take each day as it comes and know that your efforts, no matter how small, are valued and they are appreciated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us strength, patience and peace during this beautiful blessed month of Ramadan. And may our struggles be a means of drawing closer to Him now and always. Ameen. Take care, my dear sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.